And Jesus talked about that mustard seed, and it's not just here in this part of Matthew, but it's in several Gospels, but used in several ways. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. That's a story that, a parable that has long stayed with me, and I hope it stays with you. And that song that we taught at Vacation Bible School, a grain of faith is all we need, for faith is like a mustard seed. The tiniest of seeds will be, when fully grown, a sturdy tree. When I was young, we had several verses to that. And it goes, just because we can't see air doesn't mean it isn't there. Doesn't mean that here and there air is everywhere about. So it is with God and love, neither can we see nor prove. Yet our hearts can be aware, God and love are everywhere. Then it goes on to, everybody has a friend. A friend who fails him never, a friend on whom we may depend, always and forever. Christ Jesus is that perfect friend. I pray I fail him never, I pray on whom we may depend, always and forever. Jesus teaches so many parables that stay with us in our lives. We could just have a sermon alone on what is the purpose of a parable. What is the meaning of a parable, or the meaning of the mustard seed? It is to teach the concept, the big idea, using elements or details like birds, weeds, and growth. They use simple things. And you can go online, and it'll just tell you all these things about why parables are in the Scripture and all these various theories. But they reach out to us. Today, this part of the gospel is about pearls in the Bible. And I was always amazed when I read the mustard seed and then go down to the merchant in search of fine pearls. That's most interesting because you've all heard me share that passage in Timothy about my grandmother that you don't dare wear jewelry. You know, she believed that in her heart, that that was the way to follow Jesus. My grandmother Sparks. But the Bible doesn't say that over and over again. It uses the pearl and the gem in so many other ways. And today I want to talk about that gem, that pearl, that someone would go out and sell all they have, and so they could buy that special pearl. And it's an example of business and making money and investment, but it is also an example of our lives. And I want to bring that to us today. So what are our pearls? The Bible has so many. How many times are diamonds mentioned in the Bible, for example? But actually, diamonds are mentioned in the King James Version, but the rest of the Bibles know that, the translations knew that there were no diamonds that early. Diamonds came a few years later. And so we didn't really have diamonds in the Bible. I mean, they probably had diamonds, but they didn't know what they were at that point. But they had all the other gems. And gems were special to people in Scripture. And the pearl was special to people in Scripture. And it says in Job, it talks about the pearl. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned. An acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. So wisdom is greater than pearls, it says in Scripture. And it goes on with other passage. You always know this one. Do not, in Matthew, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before the swine, I wonder if we've ever done that. If we have anybody ready to confess that you've given your pearls before the swine, what would the example be? Because I don't think any of us would literally throw our pearls before the swine. But on the other hand, we've done some things with our wealth, with our gifts, with our glory of God, and given it away in the wrong direction. But it says in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. So how do we find that pearl in our lives? And how do we move beyond that Timothy passage that I just shared? Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, says Paul, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly items. Does that mean we get rid of them? I'm not sure that that's what it means. It means that they're not the number one item. And as we know in Proverbs 31, they say the woman is more valuable than that gem, but doesn't say that she gets rid of that gem. So today we're talking about pearls in our lives. They're a great passage in Revelation over and over again, and they become the 12 gates to the entrance into heaven. But we go way back and we find that stones were very precious in ancient scripture. And that's what we want to put up on the screen today. That in Exodus 28, there's a whole passage on precious stones in the Bible and what happened to those stones. The priest, actually it was Aaron, who first wore the precious stones. Now, today when we think of what the ancient soldiers wore, it was that breastplate, that protection breastplate, like, there you go. But to the holy ones, it wasn't that breastplate. It was what the priest wore, following what Aaron wore. And there is 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. We could spend lots of time on each stone. You can go online and look them up, and you can see how pretty they are and what they were used for. I think we have another example of that. And there's another example of the stones. Of course, we have the example of the pearls in the Bible. So out of the stones, there's also the pearl in the Bible. So here's my question for you as we have the sermon today and we get past all of these wonderful stones and this breastplate scripture in Isaiah. How do we, the church of this day, let the world know that we have and offer the most finest of stones? Do we go to and do not cast your pearls before the swine? That's scripture. Is that what we do to get our precious stones out there in the world today? When we went to Bethlehem in 2008, our last trip, and when we met the man who made this wonderful mother of pearl and these beautiful necklaces that we had, we wanted to just know that he found his way to make it in this world, in the world where he lives. It's so challenging, especially so challenging right now, as we know, and pray that this 24-hour time of stop shooting and stop the violence for at least 24 hours will work. But the mother of pearl became his way to make it out into the world and have something that people would adore. And it worked for him. But as I look around in the church, and as I continue to preach about the shrinking church of people in the United States of America, I continue to raise before you that we have to find our way, that we have to find what we have to do. And what is our most valuable treasure? Is it our beautiful building? Sometimes that works for the church, but most of the time in today's world, it does not work for the church. So what is our precious stone, our pearl that we would say that we have to sell all we have and we have to go buy it so that not just for us, for our benefit, but for the benefit of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in the world? That's the hard question. What would be the breastplate today? What would you and I wear? I don't think that old breastplate would sell anymore. It wouldn't be the main attraction like it was once in Jerusalem to get people to come to the temple. But somewhere between that breastplate and our magnificent stones today, our gems, the beautiful jewelry that some of our ladies are wearing this morning, somewhere in between that, is God's precious stone that we have to find, that we have to discover in our world today. And what a chore that is. I hope that we've helped prepare you to discover that stone in your life and here at Grace Church. For one of the great discoveries is the word itself, grace. What a gift. What a precious item that you have, the name grace. If we could continue to teach that out into the world. I want to share with you what went on in Columbus this week. Probably mostly women, but there were some men there, came to the conference. It was the Eastern Conference on this side of the Mississippi, to Columbus for the 31 workshop and convention. 17,000. Now, I know that we here in our own church have our own problems with 31. It's expensive. We did raise some money for our cause, one of our causes here, with these bags, and we appreciated that. But I'm trying to use it as an example to say the world is so attracted to so many other things besides this church. When is the last time the United Church of Christ on a national convention had 17,000 people there? When is the last time that any church had 17,000 people there except for these large mega churches? So what do we do to do that? I happen to ask Rebecca to find some of her great stones, and here's some of her pearls. Some of her stones that would match those stones up on there on that breastplate. They're black and they're amber, and great jewelry pieces that our women like to wear. I think this bag is so fascinating. It has about every zipper in it imaginable. And so I have some of them down here below. Oh, I have a stone down here, though, that you would so appreciate. Oh, here's jewelry and or bracelets. But here's one that will excite you. The Ohio State University. Buckeye. In jewelry. And it looks like, I don't know what those are around it, except for they're fascinating little stones. It's interesting what the Ohio State University and contemporary sports do to attract people to our universities and all the thousands that they attract and to their sporting events. Those are gems to people. Some years ago, I was asked to do a funeral for a cousin. Sure, I'll be glad to do that. It was real sad that he died of cancer very young. And when I came and got reacquainted with my family, at that level of my family, everything about that funeral was Ohio State University. And football and basketball. I'm saying, wow. Somewhere he got lost in the midst of all that. And there's a great point that you can go there and enjoy it and have fun, but sometimes we go way too far. And we in the church today have to figure out in this world how we reach those people that their gems are so many other things. Not to exclude those gems, not to throw them away, but to find out how we enter into them and share with those people the love of Jesus Christ. Some of you went to the concert last night and you heard "Sailing." Did he sing it last night? I figured Christopher Cross sang "Sailing" last night. What a beautiful piece. Somewhere along the line, yes, even in the weather, however many thousands showed up, we do those things. And I'm sure it was a great concert. How do we reach out as the Church of Jesus Christ? What is your stone? We have a church in Charleston, West Virginia. Their stone is Tiffany. They have the ancient stained glass of, ancient is 100 and some years ago. And they're just so proud of their Tiffany windows all over, stained glass. And people will come and see them. But it hasn't been the factor of making that church grow. You know, so on the one hand, they got a precious stone. On the other hand, it's not what they need in the world today necessarily. And that's where we, the church, have to know how to take that walk. What do we have to sell or give up to have that precious stone, whatever it is? How do we discover it? It could be, as I've said before, it could be having everybody ride their horse to church one Sunday. It could be riding your tractor to church. Or I said here, no, it needs to be a ATV, all those four-wheelers that are out there that none of you have. But my goodness, they're everywhere out there in the country, and people race on them, or they go mudding and tear up all the soil. But that's where the world is today. How do we reach it? For me, I'm still stuck on precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight. Precious, sacred scenes unfold. I'm still there. I'm still back at those memories. Part of the reason I want to go to that farm is that it's just sacred memories of life. But is that going to reach the world? I wish I could just say to you, here's the answer. Take it and go. I wish I could do that. Here's your stone. Here's your gem. But it's there. Maybe in several items. We continue on that walk with your new pastor to discover, however we discover it, that precious gem that Jesus Christ calls us to take into the world as we wear this cross, the most precious gem of all. In Jesus' name, amen.